obstinately retains, even in the midst of his intellectual atheism, the language, rites, sacraments, and story of the Christians. The poor man may be clinging, with a wisdom he himself by no means understands, to that which is his life. It would have been better that French theologian Alfred Loisy should have remained a Christian. It would not necessarily have been better that he should have purged his thought of vestigial Christianity. Those who do not know that this great myth became fact when the Virgin conceived are, indeed, to be pitied. But Christians also need to be reminded, we may thank Corineus for reminding us, that what became fact was a myth, that it carries with it into the world of fact all the properties of a myth. God is more than a god, not less. Christ is more than Balder, not less. We must not be ashamed of the mythical radiance resting on our theology. We must not be nervous about parallels and pagan Christs. They ought to be there. It would be a stumbling block if they weren't. We must not, in false spirituality, withhold our imaginative welcome. If God chooses to be mythopoeic, and is not the sky itself a myth, shall we refuse to be mythopathic? For this is the marriage of heaven and earth, perfect myth and perfect fact, claiming not only our love and our obedience, but also our wonder and delight, addressed to the savage, the child, and the poet in each one of us, no less than to the moralist, the scholar, and the philosopher. 6. Horrid Red Things. Many theologians and some scientists are now ready to proclaim that the 19th century conflict between science and religion is over and done with. But even if this is true, it is a truth known only to real theologians and real scientists. That is, to a few highly educated men. To the man in the street, the conflict is still perfectly real, and in his mind it takes a form which the learned hardly dream of. The ordinary man is not thinking of particular dogmas and particular scientific discoveries. What troubles him is an all-pervading difference of atmosphere between what he believes Christianity to be and that general picture of the universe which he has picked up from living in a scientific age. He gathers from the creed that God has a son, just as if God were a god like Odin or Jupiter, that this son came down like a parachutist from heaven, first to earth and later to some land of the dead situated beneath the earth's surface, that still later he ascended into the sky and took his seat in a decorated chair placed a little to the right of his father's throne. The whole thing seems to imply a local and material heaven, a palace in the stratosphere, a flat earth and all the rest of those archaic misconceptions. The ordinary man is well aware that we should deny all the beliefs he attributes to us and interpret our creed.